Hello, and welcome to the Tough Theology Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Silver, and I am grateful to be back. Life has been crazy. I've been working a lot, and I just haven't had time to devote heavily into all of the information I want to bring to you guys. But because of COVID-19, I've been given some time, and I've been able to sit down and to read and to write. And here I am bringing you guys another podcast. Now, this podcast is going to be on Revelation. Now, I'm not talking about the book of the Bible, I'm talking about the term. So the term revelation means an unveiling, being derived from its Latin form. The same can be said for the word apocalypse, though our modern definition of apocalypse is that of end times, destruction, desert wastelands, nuclear fallout. That is not its true definition or its word definition. If you take a look at the Greek, apocalypse is two words, apo and kaluptein. Apo means un, and kaluptein means to uncover. So it literally means to uncover. Now, in this podcast, I'm going to be talking about the word revelation or the term revelation. I'm not going to be talking about the book Revelation in detail. One day I might get the courage or the bravery, or I might think I have enough wisdom to actually handle that book and be able to give you guys a detailed walkthrough for it. But right now, that's not something I can do. Most of the other books in the Bible, I am glad to start breaking down. That's actually one of the goals here in the future, is to start doing Bible book walkthroughs. All right. So, before I continue, this point needs to be made clear. The Bible, or the Word of God, Scripture, however you want to call it, was inspired and written by the will of God, using humans to record accurately and concisely historical events and supernatural events that happened in our history. God is in complete control of the universe. Therefore, all actions taken to record the revelation of God is done so without worry of corruption. We can look at the Bible and we can know that that was meant to be in there. Every word, every dot, every tittle. Most people probably don't know what that is. I remember hearing it once. It's a fun little word to say. But we don't have to worry about the inerrancy. We know that God's word is God's word. It's flawless. It is not at worry of being corrupted, unlike some other things. All right. So with that out of the way, let's dive into studying Revelation. So there are two classifications of a revelation in God's word. There's the general and the special revelation. General revelation is a universal revelation that 100% of humanity, the entire world, all of creation can see and derive that there is some form of supreme deity. Special revelation is that is brought about by God for the purpose of salvation. Not everyone is either going to accept it or hear it or understand it. The general revelation is the easiest because it is all around us. The complex nature that we see can do nothing but make us believe that there is a God. Natural systems like the water cycle, ecosystems, and everything around you. Just take a moment and look around you. All right, if you're in a room, if you're in a coffee shop, if you're by a window, if you're actually out and about on a jog or a walk, and you're listening to this, look around you. All right, the things you see around you are complex. Yes, man might have figured out a way to create stones and concrete and make buildings that are very good at about insulating and staying upright and weathering storms. But if you look at nature, if you look at the complexities of it, trees, grass, the animals that we see and we study for science, and even human anatomy, everything is just too complex to just be like, oh yeah, this is completely fine, this is completely natural, nothing, it just came about by natural things, yeah, totally. No, that would be like looking at a computer or at a very sophisticated robot and saying, yeah, that thing just came about on its own, nothing created it. It would be preposterous and it would be idiotic, to be frank. looking around us, we see the glory of God. But that doesn't mean that we fully understand God. All right, so from all over the world and the planet, we see how ecosystems work and everything is in balance, right? So if you remember in Yellowstone, they really did not like the wolf population. They wanted to get rid of the wolf population so that way people would feel safer about coming and visiting. So in the 1800s, they wiped out the wolf population, completely wiped it out. And from that moment on until not too long ago, I think it might have been in the 70s or the 80s. Somebody can fact check me, but I think it was the 70s and the 80s. They finally reintroduced the wolves. But why? Why do they have to reintroduce the wolves? Well, because the top predator was taken out of the ecosystem, the elk, the deer, the caribou, they could come, they could graze wherever they wanted. They had no worries about, oh, you know, we don't go by the bubbling stream, by the big rock, because that's where the wolves like to hang out. We don't go there. Now they're able to go there. So they were eating all the small vegetation that actually damaged the ecosystem, that even drew beavers who build dams and change waterways in Yellowstone. They were also, they left just because of the wolves, not because they were being preyed upon or, you know, anything like that. It was just other herbivores were taking their food and they're like, well, we're going to go somewhere else. And it wasn't until they reintroduced the wolves back into there. And it was just 14 to start. 14 individual wolves were what started the change in Yellowstone. And since then, the population grew. But the deer, elk, and caribou populations came under control. There are now beautiful paths and throughout it that are caused by them because now they're having to worry. They're eating less gluttonously. They're eating more sparingly and in certain areas. The beavers came back. They created new dams. They changed the waterways. The ecosystem was restored and it became better. So the ecosystem was changed by man, but God had created that ecosystem and it was sustained perfectly on its own. All right, it is that sort of complexity that we can see that, yes, something, someone had to put this in order. All right, so it is this general revelation that has aided mankind in creating so many different religions. All right, like I said, we can see it. And we can see powers of nature, and that's why there are so many pantheons of different gods. And they're over specific things. Some of the most famous ones. Let's look at Greek mythology. All right, you have Apollo, the son of the god, or the son of the god, the god of the sun. All right, or you have Poseidon, the god of the seas and of storms. You have Zeus, the god of thunder and lightning. You have Demeter, who is a goddess of the spring or the hunt. You know, there's these powers at be that need to have some sort of deity that because the powers that they have are too strong. Anyone can walk to the beach and to the ocean, they can see the strength of the waves and they know that they are not strong enough to contain the waves. Or if you look at if you're in a storm, I live in North Carolina, so we get hurricanes pretty much every summer, and those storms are big, they're scary. A few years ago during Hurricane Florence, my family was out of power for 9 days. And that's scary because in the middle of summer, it gets into the 90s or even the low 100s, and humidity can be upwards of 90 to 100% after a hurricane. So these are powerful things. And honestly, nothing is more powerful on Earth than a freaking lightning bolt. A lightning bolt has so much energy in it that it could probably kill a small group of men. Probably with 30 men, that's not a small group, that's a large group, but it has that much energy in it, and we can't control it. We can't do anything about it. I mean, we try, we put up things to divert it, lightning rods and that sort. But back in the ancient days, they didn't have that. So they prayed to the god of the lightning to move the storm away, to the god of the seas to calm it, to the god of war to let them have a blessed battle and to come home victorious. It's these pantheons that were created out of our general revelation that there is a God, there is something in control, we just didn't know what. So, but why is it that we cannot know God fully from his general revelation? Well, I mean, if God intended for us to be able to see him and look at his work and be like, yeah, there was a creator, how did we stray so far from being that? And that is a question I'm actually about to answer right now. Because it starts in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 3. All right? In the entire Bible, in Genesis, starts off with, in the beginning, God created. That is how it started. God created the heavens, the earth, the fish, the seas, the mountains, the land, the crawling things on the earth, the birds of the air. He created all of this. He created everything that we can see in five days. The sixth day, he created Adam and Eve. On the seventh day, they rested. Well, it doesn't tell us how long after that happened, but one day, Adam and Eve are just chilling in Eden. And the serpent, who is the devil, comes up and somehow persuades them and twists God's word of touching or eating the fruit of the knowledge, or the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He twists that and he gets Eve to take a bite, and then Adam takes a bite after Eve. So they eat this fruit that was forbidden, causing an extreme separation between them and God because they disobeyed his one rule. Don't eat this. Well, they ate it. They learned what good and evil was. So at that moment, they realized how good God was, how bad the serpent was, and how they were. They knew where they were. And in their sin, God had to put them out of his presence. He didn't kill them, but he put them out of their presence. They had to work hard. They had to fight now for whatever they wanted. But it is in that point that our perfect relationship with God, well, the Adam and Eve, which could have been ours, that perfect relationship was torn apart by deceit and greed. It didn't take long after the fall for humanity to be so far from God that we believed ourselves to be nearly completely independent. A few chapters after that, you get the story of the Tower of Babel. Man wanted to make a tower, a building so tall that the builders would be known, would be exalted, and they would get the glory. God didn't want that. God knows that, and God knew, and God knows that we are not worthy of any sort of exaltation. Anything that we do needs to be for the glory of God to deserve exaltation. But it was that pride, it was that sin that caused them to do it. So we already thought, and not long after the fall, that we were good, that we were the ones on top, we were the top dog. So, but there, like I said, there are still forces of nature that we could not possibly hope to dominate. So we began to pray to those individual events, powers that scared us. We started, like I was saying, we started praying to the storm gods, the gods of the sun. That was when God left us on our own, or left us to our own devices. And Paul writes about this in Romans, starting in Romans chapter 1, verse 19. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. See, God saw that we didn't care for him, and so he was just like, fine, if you really don't care for me, have your little gods. They're not going to do anything for you, because they really don't. Everything is controlled by God. You're praying to something that doesn't exist, hoping that it will change. If I don't kill you with that lightning bolt or with that storm, it's because I chose to. And that's what God is saying. But this is the general revelation. This is what everybody can see. And this is why you can look at the Aztecs, the Mayans, the Hindu, the Chinese, the Japanese, the, Middle Eastern, all these, or the Celtic, the Romans, the African tribes, all of them, they all have their own gods, their own pantheon, their own list of gods that they worship, and each god has their own individual thing. So that is a general revelation. That is the faulty in our perception of the general revelation. But there's still hope. There is the special revelation. So that revelation is of God bestowing upon this world the ability or the pathway for salvation. Its purpose, the special revelation's purpose, is in fact salvation. So this would encompass all of what we would call scripture, from Genesis to Malachi to Matthew and the book of Revelation. That is all part of this special revelation of God. Its purpose, or the purpose of scripture, was to be a physical manifestation of the spoken word of God. And that was also a person who was born in a human form. He was human. And his name was Jesus, and we called him the Christ. And he was our propitiation, which is a fancy Bible theologian term of replacement or instead of. You see, the special revelation of God is that of the life, the ministry, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, who died on a Roman cross with the weight of all of our sins, taking our place in the judgment seat instead of us actually being through it. The special revelation is not as universal as the general revelation. As a Christian, we are to evangelize, which means to preach the gospel of Christ for salvation to all people. That's why you hear about, people going from door to door, or getting on a street corner and standing on a box and preaching the gospel, or missionaries going to different countries or continents, giving the word of God, spreading the good news or the gospel to these people who need it, who need to hear this good news. It's because, unlike the general revelation that is all around us, the special revelation needs to be hand-delivered by a person. Now, it might not be truly hand-delivered. Technically, my podcast here is a form of me evangelizing and preaching the gospel, but I don't get to see you guys. You guys just hear my voice and you listen to me while I'm talking to a microphone. It's not true personal, but I still give it, and you can still take it if you want it. All right. So the unfortunate thing about evangelism is that the number of people we evangelize and who are converted may not be 100%. Though we know that all nations and people will have the gospel preached to them, not all individuals will be saved. God, or the second coming of Christ, will not happen until everybody has gotten every people group has gotten the opportunity to hear the gospel. But that also means that, say, for us in America, let's say we talk to 100 different people and we say, hey, have you heard about Jesus? Have you heard about the good news? Have you heard about him dying on the cross so that way you can have a relationship with God? And all of this, we might talk to 100 people about it, and still maybe 5, 10, 1, who knows how many people will actually be converted. And we don't know that. We can't go looking around and, lifting up people's shirts on the back and be like, oh, they got an E, they're going to be a chosen one of God. Let's, make sure that they get their Bible and start going to church. We don't know that answer, but all we know is that if we throw out the seed, if we throw out God's word, somebody's going to hear it. Somebody is going to enjoy it and have a life-changing moment. All right, but going back to special revelation, we can see throughout both the Old and the New Testament that God revealed himself to certain individuals. And some notable ones in the Old Testament would be you know, of course, Noah, you know, who he spoke to and was like, you're going to build the ark. You're the only one left that isn't truly corrupt. So you are going to be the new head. You're going to bring about the new generation of humans. There was also Abraham, who God personally spoke to and, you know, told him that you are going to be the father of a great nation and your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars. You know, then we have, you know, Moses, who saw the burning bush. God personally spoke to him and made him his messenger, his relay to the people of Israel. You also have the son and the grandson of Abraham being Jacob and Isaac. Isaac being the son of Abraham and Jacob being the grandson. Those were also individuals that were specifically chosen and who talked to God. Right. But then you also have these people called the prophets. These were after the nation of Israel was established, then they had their kings and they were having issues. God would choose a single person, personally talk to this person, and have this person convey the message that God wanted to convey. Whether it be to Israel of you need to repent, you need to get rid of this idolic worship, and you need to come back to God. Or in the case of Jonah, it was to go to a city that was not of Israelite or Hebrew descent, but of a Gentile city, an enemy of Israel, and tell them, repent, or I'm striking this entire city down. And then, of course, you have people like Daniel, who was a prophet as well, but he was in Babylon for most of his time. He wasn't in Israel. But he still worked as being a prophet, as being a messenger between God and the king of Babylon. So in the Old Testament, you have these people that were selectively chosen, one or maybe more or less just one at a time. And there are more, obviously. There's an entire list of prophets that I haven't named. But they all share that God himself spoke to them. Or had an angel speak to them, they were still chosen to have this special revelation, and they had a special purpose, and that they would carry out. No other individual was given the same special task. Now you could say that, well, what about the prophets? They kind of had the same task. You're right, they did have the same task. They had the same title. They were a prophet. They went, took a message from God, gave them a message. They give to the people, but that message in and of itself would vary depending on the situation. It would either be to the Israelites, to a specific Israelite, to a Gentile nation. And so it was still very specific, even though they were given the broad category of being the same. So in the New Testament, the sole purpose is that the sole purpose of it is that the special revelation of salvation through Jesus Christ. All right, so that is the entire thing about the New Testament. It is solely focused on Christ, his life, his ministry, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So you have the first four gospels, or sorry, the first four books being the gospels written by disciples and apostles relaying detailed events that happened and showing that the life, the death, or the life, the ministry, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. All right, after that, you have the book of the Acts of the Apostles, or just known as the Book of Acts. This was showing what happened after Jesus was resurrected and after he went back and was brought to heaven after being on earth and talking to his disciples. This is all about that. This is their Acts, what they did, it was chronicled. All right, and then after, well, yeah, so the Acts were chronicled, and that showed the power of that special revelation. Because if you look at the apostles, now the apostles were the original 12 minus Judas, and they were Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, John, the brother of James. So this would be John, the writer of the book of the Gospel of John, and also the epistles of John. All right, you had Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew. I wonder who that one was. James, the son of Alphaeus. Alphaeus, sorry, not good with those names. Jude, Simon the Zealot. It was a different Simon than Peter. But that's why I gave him the name Peter. And another thing. And then Matthias, who would later replace Judas. So these were the 12 disciples and the apostles. But then there's also the 13th, which was that of Paul of Tarsus. Well, his original name was Saul. See, Saul was a Jew, and he even writes in his letters, because he wrote most of the New Testament letters, he writes saying that he was a Jew above Jew. So he was so raised up, he was going to be the next, you know, top of the Pharisees. He was ready for it, and he was a young boy at the point that we first see him. But he hated the Christians, and he pursued them. He murdered them. He went out of town getting letters of execution saying that he could go forth, pull them out of their homes, and kill them publicly. So you have this guy, and he has a revelation of Christ on his way to Damascus. A blinding light blinds him, but in that light he sees the form of the resurrected Savior, Jesus. And he rightly says, "Lord, who are you?" And Jesus responds back saying, "I'm the one that you've been pursuing. I am Jesus. I'm the one that you've been killing." And he actually turns Saul, the most hated man to Christians in that point, to Paul, the most loved man. The man who sought after becoming like Christ, just as if he was walking with Jesus through the 3 years of his ministry. That is the power of the special revelation, and that's why it is given the name of special revelation. And a special revelation continues to happen today through the act of evangelism and through the truth that is God's word. If we don't do this, if we don't have these podcasts making people better Christians, or giving people the encouragement to go and talk, or just going and talking to people on their own, eventually, no one's going to believe that there is anything special about Christianity. That there is nothing, there is no power behind it. It's just a gimmick. It's just something that I was raised up doing. And that's why we have to live our lives in such a manner that we show the world that there is a special revelation that comes to having a relationship with Jesus and with God. But we can't do that if we look down upon others or if we act high and mighty. We have to be humble. We have to be servant hearts. And we have to be willing to talk to people. Because if going from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive, being able to look at the future, be like, whatever happens, God's got me. It's going to be okay. And when I die on this earth, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to have a big old party with God. I'm going to be able to worship him with no pain, no suffering. There won't be a sad tear in my eyes. There will be plenty of happy tears, but there won't be any sad tears. If we're not excited, if we're not trying to give this to people, then of course they're not going to see us as, well, it's just a Christian thing. Why should I bother? Let's get excited. Let's show the world the special revelation that is the salvation through Jesus Christ. And so this is my podcast. This is the study of the word revelation. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. And I'm going to, at the end of this, I'm going to give a quick shout out to the sponsor. And I just want to tell you guys right now, have a blessed day, have a blessed week, blessed month, blessed year. I know it's been crazy right now, but you guys are awesome. God has chosen you. God loves you, and God is protecting you and sustaining you. So let's go and let's worship him like we've never worshiped before in our daily lives. Let's not save it for Sunday or Saturday or, you know, Wednesday, whenever. Let's just do it every day. Let's wake up grateful. All right, I love you guys, and this is Anthony signing off. Again, I just want to thank you for listening to my podcast. This is the end, and I just want to let you guys know that you can find my podcast on the Anchor app. It's anchor.fm, or you can find it on Spotify. And if you find this on any social medias, I will also put the links or the websites to where you can find it as well. There are multiple others. I am working on getting onto iTunes right now, but that's a little bit harder. But the easiest place to find my podcast is definitely on Spotify under Tough Theology. And if you have any questions, concerns, or maybe some ideas that you want to throw at me about a upcoming podcast, you can gladly email me at toughtheology, all one word, all lowercase, at gmail.com. I would be greatly appreciative of any input that you guys can have. And I just want to say again, I love you guys and have a blessed day.